Two scripture readings this morning. First is from Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. You shall keep the festival of booths for 7 days, when you have gathered in the produce from your threshing floor and your wine press. Rejoice during your festival, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, as well as the Levites, the strangers, the orphans, and the widows resident in your towns. 7 days you shall keep the festival to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your undertakings, and you shall surely celebrate. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose: at the festival of unleavened bread, at the festival of weeks, and at the festival of booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. All shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. And from John chapter 7, verses 28 to 31 and 37 to 39. Then Jesus cried out as he was teaching in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I am from. I have not come on my own. But the one who sent me is true, and you do not know him. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." Then they tried to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. Yet many in the crowd believed in him and were saying, "When the Messiah comes, will he do more signs than this man has done?" On that last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scriptures have said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the word of the Lord.
Revelation 7, verse 9 through 17. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the reading.
Merciful God, this morning we bow before you. Lamb of God, we are before you with all that we are, our sin, our shortcomings, the good, the bad, the ugly. We bow before you, seeking your mercy. Thank you for this day in which we remember Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem. Thank you for this week and all that happens as we look forward to next Sunday and Easter. But before we get there, we have to travel these last few days with your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your word, and we now ask that your spirit will open our hearts and our minds to understand, to accept, and to live out the word that you have for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as you know, for this year's Lent, I've been doing a series of sermons called Promised Treasures. And we've been focusing on different objects that were really common in biblical times and really still are today as well. And so our journey started with ashes. Ashes that remind us of our own mortality, our need of repentance. Then we talked about salt and Jesus calling us the salt of the earth. And then water and light. We learned about Jesus being the living water. And whoever drinks from him never thirsts again. And him being the light of the world. And the light that we need to shine before other people. And last week we celebrated communion and we had some different bread because Jesus is also the bread of life. Now today is Palm Sunday and you've all received a palm frond. And because the theme for today is palms and victory. Palms and victory. So Palm Sunday, also known as Passion Sunday, of course reminds us of one of the most remarkable twists in the life of the church. As Jesus enters the holy city of Jerusalem, just before the Feast of Passover, people are praising him and cheering him on, lining the streets. They wave palm branches and they sing, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. However, all these victorious chants were fickle because in only a few days, short days, the cheering will go from chants of Hosanna to shouts of crucify him. So when you consider the whole Bible, palms held an even greater distinction at another ancient Jewish festival, something they celebrated every year. And it's called the Feast of Tabernacles or Tents. In our scripture, our Old Testament reading today, it's called the Festival of Booths. It was something that every Jewish man was required to celebrate in person every year in Jerusalem. Why? To remember how God provided for Israel during the 40 years that they spent in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And so during this feast, they came with leafy boughs and palms, and they lived in tents, like some families, you know, who might go camping in a tent for a week in the summer. And this was how God's people remembered how he provided for them in the wilderness, how he gave them manna and meat and water. Passover happened in the spring. The Feast of Tabernacles took place in the fall, usually in late September or early October. And this feast was close to Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. And on this holy day, the high priest would take two goats, and he would then confess all the sins of the people over the head of one of the goats and release it as a scapegoat. And then the other goat was sacrificed, and the high priest would take that blood and go into the most holy place in the temple, the Holy of Holies, and place it, spread it on the mercy seat. And so during the Feast of Atonement and Tabernacles, The Israelites purposefully remembered their unfaithfulness and their rebellion against God in the desert. And they knew that most of the first generation who exited Egypt never even made it to the promised land. And they remembered their past failures and their sin. But beyond that, they also remembered how God wonderfully and generously provided for them. Their sandals never wore out. They ate manna and meat, and they had water every single day. And so Moses said to them, on the first day you will take good fruit from the fruit trees, as well as branches from palm trees, poplars and other leafy trees, and you will celebrate before the Lord your God for 7 days. This law will continue from now on. You will celebrate it in the seventh month. Now, as New Testament people and as followers of Jesus Christ, we don't celebrate the Jewish festivals. Because for us, the palms really have a different purpose. Not only do they remind us of Palm Sunday when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey to begin the last week on earth, his last week on earth, but even more so, they remind us to joyously celebrate something else. And that is our victory. Our victory in Jesus Christ. Not just today, but really every single day of our lives. And yes, we know that, you know, we're on the verge of Holy Week. And in this week, we will witness our Lord instituting the Last Supper, eating for the last time with his disciples, and battling Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane in prayer, and being betrayed by Judas. And we will also witness Good Friday and Christ's suffering and passion. But remember why. Why Jesus does all of this. He did it for you and for me. He gave himself to give you an eternal victory. And therefore, we wave palms now, as John shares in his vision of heaven in the book of Revelation, where he says, after this, I saw a large crowd with more people than could be counted. And they were from every race, tribe, nation, and language. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They wore white robes and held palm branches in their hands as they shouted, our God who sits upon the throne has the power to save his people, and so does the Lamb. And that is you, and that is me, who believe in our Savior Jesus, the Lamb of God, and everyone who has gone on before us to be with God in heaven. So life, this life that we have, it's really a gift from God. And it's in many ways wonderful and beautiful. But in this world, this broken world, we also encounter many, many difficulties, pain and suffering and loneliness and challenges and illness and depression and loss and on and on. And all of that can make you feel naked, can make you feel alone. And so what I want you to remember today is that you are as brightly clothed as those saints in heaven wearing those white robes. Because you are baptized and you are covered in Jesus' blood and righteousness through your faith. I'm sure you remember the story of Adam and Eve in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden. And they were happy, right? And they were content. And life was wonderful and beautiful. And they had everything they needed. But then they gave into temptation and they disobeyed God. And because they sinned, the Bible says they were ashamed. And they became aware of their nakedness. And so they sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes to cover themselves. God eventually forgave them, and he covered them with animal skins. But I tell you, it's never comfortable to be naked at any time or in any kind of weather. And we definitely don't want our nakedness and our sin to be exposed to the whole world. However, remember this. Jesus was stripped naked by Roman soldiers and beaten for you. They pressed a crown of thorns into his skull. And shortly thereafter, he was shamefully hung naked on a cross so that you and I never have to face eternal nakedness and shame. We are not naked. We are victorious. And that's what today's palm branches represent. That's what they remind you of. Very soon, you know, other leafy plants, especially Easter lilies, will be decorating our sanctuary. Because for God's people, greenery always symbolizes rest and beauty and peace and tranquility. We donate plants and flowers to the church to celebrate an event, maybe an anniversary or a baptism or a wedding or God's gift of life. Or when we remember someone who went on to be with the Lord, like these flowers today. Or during Christmas with the poinsettias, or Easter with the lilies. But today, it's the palm leaves. Palms and green symbolize life and strength. You see life all around you during spring as the green comes back. Solomon in the Old Testament refers to the palm tree as a symbol of strength. Palms were carved into the walls of his great temple. They represent vigorous life and abundance. In a hot Mediterranean climate, the shade of a palm offered relief from the direct heat of the sun. And I want you to know today that you can rest in the shade of the Almighty. You can recline joyfully, baptized and clothed in white through Christ's blood. That is why we hold palm branches in our hands. You are baptized into Jesus Christ, and you are washed in his blood. And even though we face sickness and disease, and even though we lose loved ones to death, even though we fight many, many battles in life and struggle with many, many different obstacles, we still have the victory in Jesus. We still have what he has achieved already for us on the cross. Your eternal victory is won by Jesus Christ. And even if your life drastically turns upside down from the thrill of victory to the agony of defeat, remember who always holds the ultimate victory for you. And so never lose heart. You are always his child, protected under his heavenly wings. That is his promise. And so celebrate the thrill of victory this day, Palm Sunday, knowing that the agony of defeat never lasts. There is Easter. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, so often we want to lose heart because we struggle. We struggle with sin, we struggle with relationships, we struggle with sadness and experience loss, we deal with loneliness, we deal with depression. There are so many things in life that can knock us down. But thank you that as we celebrate Palm Sunday with palms in our hands representing the victory that we have through your Son Jesus, the victory that is already achieved for us, thank you for that vision of all those people in heaven standing before the Lamb of you, your Lamb, Jesus, with palm branches in their hands, giving you all the glory and praise that you deserve. That is us, God, because of our faith in your Son, Jesus. So always make us aware, and may your Spirit always enable us to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross when he won our eternal victory. We praise you today in his precious name. Amen.